Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody, and welcome once again to Language Worker. So this is another one of those episodes where I've actually, well, Vikram, I had never even seen him. And Lamia, we met some months ago in a networking event promoted by our friend from Indonesia, Ida Susana. So I was very, very interested in Lamia's activities, and I've always wanted to have an episode about India. So I thought this would be the perfect situation. I said, oh, just bring a guest, another guest, right? She's the guest who's inviting a guest. So I usually do this, so it's not so uncommon, because I think it's really interesting that people actually are free also to choose their partners to come and have this conversation with me. And so you guys, you already know, if you like what we're doing here, just hit that subscribe button, just leave your thumbs up, a comment, anything you want. I'd love to know your feedback about everything. But today is all about my Indian friends, Lamia and Vikram. Listen to this name. This is insane. I'm going to ask him to say it properly. And Lamia, obviously, I always ask for that because it's just fascinating to me. But this is amazing because it's one of those things that if we have been in the industry for quite some time, we know that there's a huge connection between our industry and India. And this is also one of the reasons why I wanted to have you guys here. But as you know, this is not prepared. Therefore, we can go in any direction. So I usually first let me say thank you so much, you guys, for accepting, even with our time differences and all of that. So in the end, we were able to work it out. So thank you so much, Lamia and Vikram. Pleasure. I'm going to do my best to repeat it as much as I can.
Yeah, it is a bit of a
sounds
mouthful,
good to
yeah.
Us. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, it's amazing.
So well, first of all, we are really thankful for you to invite us over and having us over. And as how they actually greet in India, first of all, let me start with saying namaste to all the listeners and to everyone around in the world who are keen to know more about us in India. And yeah. Me and Lamia had started we actually started doing languages, I think, in 2009. That's right, Lamia? Mm-hmm.
2008.
Yeah. And before that, we were connected with the advertising industry. So we were heavily into creating campaigns and a lot of other things like that. But it was only when we deep dived into the world of languages, when we got to know that there's so much more to explore than just creating the first level campaign idea, in terms of how to make it reach the masses, because from table to, traveling to every street of India, and I don't know how much you know about India, but it's got so many languages. After every 200 kilometers, 400 kilometers, the language, cuisine, fashion, climate, everything changes. So it's a great journey. When someone gets into languages in India, it's a different ballgame altogether.
Mm-hmm. I believe you. But let's go back even a little bit more. So Lamia, I would say, so what kind of child were you living in a multilingual country like that? Is your family all from the same region? So these things are relevant in a big country, right? Like Portugal, we don't have these things, right? Because usually, even if your parents are from different regions, they were just, who knows, 30 kilometers away. So this is not the case for huge countries like that. So how was it for you, growing up in a multilingual country? Was your family an influence? Did you have to learn multiple languages? What was the story? So what was the story with Lamia when she was still a little girl?
So hi, Rita. Thank you. So while you're growing up as a child, as an Indian, it is understood that you're growing up in a multilingual country. And India is divided into different states, and every state has their own language. And we are well aware of the same. That if we are going to another country, if you're going down south, then the language changes. If I'm born and brought up in the west of India, I'm born and brought up in Bombay, which is now Mumbai, which is in the state of Maharashtra. So our native language is Marathi. But I have grown up in a Gujarati-speaking household. So by itself, I was multilingual. And the language that I have learned in school is Hindi. Mm. So this has been a learning from my education days, from my,
So is Hindi your, is there a language that you learn across the board, like every single person in India, like a lingua franca that you use that everybody else needs to speak in order to understand everything that's happening around the country? Is that the case?
So English used to be our national language and the most commonly spoken language. There are other languages now, or maybe mainly I think Tamil. Vikram will correct me if I'm wrong over here. I think Tamil has now sort of gained as much of, you know, visibility. But still Hindi is the most understood and the most popular and the most spoken language, with it being taught in most schools except for, I think, East and for South. So West and the North of India, India being a very big country, Hindi is largely spoken. Hindi is something that I can, you know, speak on the road while asking directions and I know I will get an answer. But if I speak in a Bengali, I will not get an answer unless I'm in Bengal.
Of course.
Yeah. So right. It's like, sounds like another country, but no, we are in the same country. We're just in another part of the country. Hindi also is different. A North Indian Hindi, the dialect is different. There are words which are different. A Hindi in West will have a different dialect. And the literate part of Hindi, the colloquial part of Hindi, the slang part of Hindi also changes.
For sure.
But India, the main schooling happens in the English language. Except for state schools, which are state wise. That is why they take the language of the state. So I have not gone to a state board school. I have gone to a, you know, private school. That is why I was taught Hindi and Marathi and English as my first language in which I was supposed to, you know, study ahead. But in a government school, they will take Marathi as their first language. So I don't know if I have confused you, but...
Of course you have, like with all those names of languages that, of course, some of them I have heard, obviously. but it's really completely different from most of our realities in Europe.
We don't have
Europe.
Anything called one language. We are multilingual is like, that's the way India is. It is multilingual and anybody you will, you know, you would meet will know more than at least two languages, but most of them will know more than two languages.
Oh my God. But it's so fascinating just in itself. What about you, Vikram? I have to pause to say this, just amazing. I'll explain why I like these sounds, right, in a minute. So Vikram, what about you? What kind of child were you? Did you have the same upbringing? Were you in a private school? Was it also with English, or did you have a multilingual, I suppose so, household? What was the story?
Yes, so my case is pretty different from when I was growing up. So my education happened up north of India.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Now, north of India is usually like the melting ground, melting pot of many, many people from across India who are coming over there. So I was definitely exposed to many languages at the same time, but I managed to learn two of them, that is Hindi and English. And as you rightly assumed, yes, Hindi is like the blanket language for across India. So largely speaking, you can go to any part of India if you know about Hindi. But I did understand that there are many, many more languages. But that time, I wasn't traveling too much. But the good thing is that my father, he was into business and he moved to another state. So once I completed my primary education, secondary education, I did my college from Mumbai. Then it was Bombay. And I came to Maharashtra. Now, Maharashtra and Mumbai, again, is like the financial capital. It's like the working capital of India, where people from across India come over here for their occupation, for professional advancements. So this is where I was introduced to many languages in a much more indulging manner. So which means that I was exposed to Marathi, of course, because I am in Maharashtra. That's the state language. But again, neighboring states like Gujarat, and then Karnataka, Goa, and then we have Tamil Nadu, and then we have Hyderabad, Andhra Pradesh. So we were we, I was over there. I was talking to so many people because my father was into business, and I had to deal with so many vendors and clients at the same time. And this is much before I actually got into advertising. So from growing up to actually understanding that, oh my God, this is like there's so many more different people. It's like different nationalities in the same country.
Because
So
it was
people,
normal somehow, right? Only when you realize that the rest of the world doesn't work like that.
it doesn't work like that because, and mostly speaking, what we assume, many of us assume when we are stuck in our own state, not as of now, of course, because of the internet and there's so much of traction happening between people now. People are open to traveling, but back in the days, people were stuck in their own hometown. They were pretty close in terms of moving out of the hometown, so they were always comfortable with three languages. We also have to understand one thing, that India is a land of colonization by the British, by the Portuguese, by the French, so but and mostly vastly by the Britishers. So for a long time, it was always emphasized that if you know English, you are cut above the rest. So most of the schools would emphasize that talk in English. If you want to go ahead in life, you talk in English, you be. But it is only recently, like say around say 15, 20 years ago, is when the government, the people, the society realized that, hey, we also have a language of our own. So let's start promoting that. Let's give it more emphasis. Let's have textbooks in our own languages. So that is what has helped us change the game in terms of our language capabilities in India, at least.
Yeah, I believe you. It's like you have so much, but obviously we're always looking at the other stuff, right? But it's like when we look inside, so it's like your language has such a close relationship to your own soul, right?
Yes,
So
yes.
some there's a
Yeah.
Portuguese poet who says that my language is my country, let's say that, right? So we are,
Yeah,
I
but
also
very
believe
well
that
said.
it's very
It does
close
hold
to you.
true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Lamia, you were saying.
The connection that you make in your language, it has a, a tug, because you immediately make a connection, with the people who's talking, the person who's talking your language, and then you get you go back to your root. I
But
think
in
that's
Portugal, if I speak Portuguese, nobody will be surprised, obviously. But I can imagine that for you guys, it's a whole other experience. If you go somewhere and you know somebody else's language, then it's a bit more
Yeah.
shocking than for us, because for us, it's just understood, right? It's
Yeah, if we
no
go to another
surprises there.
state, if we go to another part of the country and they know that, oh, our language, it's like delight. That, oh, okay, you speak this language, like, how
Right.
come?
It's
Because India's, yeah.
an immense connection, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Lamia, when you went to college after all this learning English, being in international school, I suppose something like that, well, the equivalent private school. So when you had to pick a career, a university degree, what was the story? What was happening in your life, and what decisions did you make?
So we had to pick up. I was never inclined towards taking up sciences because I don't have an engineering mind as such. My business was something that I was always interested in. I was always interested in doing something of my own because I come also from a business family. So I wanted to start something of my own. I was just very, very fond of writing. And moving down the line, as I took up commerce, which is a stream that you get to choose from in college. So I took up commerce, but down the line, I realized that my affinity towards writing and creative is very, very large. I was not interested in taking up psychology or economics or finance. But everything which attracted me was towards writing and creativity, and it was probably a part of my personality as well. And then I did mass media, so that's where I did my advertising and public relations, and I specialized in copywriting. And back
Oh,
then,
wow.
a career in advertising was very, very. It was not multidimensional as it is today. We had the art department, that's the creative, we had the copywriting, we had client servicing, we had media. These were the four departments. Digital had not yet really come up. There was, I don't think, internet also came in, I think, like we
It
were
was there.
still,
It was
it was
just
there,
there.
but
Yeah.
yeah, it was just there. We were still struggling up with a dial-up connection and very, very poor data
I
and
believe
all
you.
those kind of things. Yeah, so we were all in that rigmarole and still trying to figure out. But we've done traditional advertising where we are working on mood boards and campaigns and storyboards and getting, drawn by artists, and we're a copywriter and clients are
Wow.
with. You're sitting and brainstorming, and then you're creating the magic out of it. And where the art directors were actually creating their own fonts rather than just going and picking up
Wow.
something. So we came. In fact, me and Vikram have studied together as well. But I will let him, tell
Okay.
you that part. And yeah, so advertising, public relations, and then majored in copy, and then that's how my journey began.
So you were basically on the same path. Also, you had a business family, and you decided that in within business you would focus more
Yeah,
on
but
creativity.
the business of my father is he's an engineer. So it's completely different. But it's just the streak to do something on my own rather than take up a job was more stronger. Although I did work for a very, very short while, maybe 2, 3 years. But then I started freelancing, and while Vikram was working, but then eventually our paths crossed, and then we started our own company.
Wow. So what about this, Vikram? What about this path crossing? So
So
you met in
I was
college.
yes.
Okay.
We met in college. So I was keen to do engineering, but for some reason, to be honest, I got too tired of studying too much. I was like, this is it for me. Then I joined my father's business, where again, as I told you, my experience with different nationalities and with different vendors of the same nation, different states, it was just like we were meeting so many people. So I was kind of exposed to a lot of people interaction, people behavior, their cuisine, the different nature, the different climates, because I used to also travel a lot. I was around, say, 19, 20 that time. And then I decided, okay, let me get back to studying. Let me get back to some sort of completing some formal education. And that is when I stumbled upon this really the smallest book in this entire course that is on advertising. And I loved it from the very start. I really loved it. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And then I said, okay, I'm good with communication, with talking to people, making a connect. So I think advertising is for me. And that's when we both met and we were in the same college. Again, I too majored in copywriting and public relations. Right after I finished my course, I joined an agency. I was working over there. So I jumped a couple of agencies, the last one being Lowe, that is in Mumbai. And then after that, one day me and Lamya, we met up again and we were speaking to each other. And I said that, listen, you know what? I think we should start something of our own. And she said, you know what? Even I'm keen on starting something of our own, because of something of my own, because we do have, there's so much more potential that we can do because of the protocols and so many layers. And now, we always thought that we can bring more value on the table when we're talking to the client directly, which sometimes kind of gets filtered when we are working in an agency. There's so many other people we need to report to. And that's how our journey started in advertising, doing our own business.
So you created an advertising business to begin with. So there was
Yes.
no languages per se involved.
Nothing.
Or you already had
Nothing.
multilingual content.
It came in later though, because as I told you, that it was a progression for us. So
It
then
never crossed our minds that there is something that it comes to, because honestly, truth be told, languages are not taken as something that is like, oh, you're doing great when it comes to languages. Languages is like a step down from what you're actually doing. You want to do something, some great work, you need to do it either in English or then in English. There is no other way. So
I
even if
see.
you do something in Hindi, back in the days I'm talking about, but you're doing something in Hindi that is, of course, a national blanket language, yet you'd be like, okay, but you're not doing anything in English. The campaigns, the major campaigns are all about being in English. Although previously a lot of ads were being done, at least the TVCs were being done in Hindi, I must say that. That is because to reach the masses. But when it comes to real campaign ideas, at least in the press also, it was more of let's put in English. People used to think in English, And then they used to boil it down to other languages. They never
I
used to
see.
think in their regional language or in the national language. That was something that was pretty evident that time, which has considerably changed in the last 20 years, I must say that. But people
That is
today
very
can
positive, I
think.
think, right?
Yes,
Absolutely.
absolutely.
It's very, very positive. It is not just positive, it's very encouraging for our country, because people have now taken ownership of their language. And it's not just every state feels, and that is why I think translation, transcreation, and the language industry is doing well, because finally they've understood that you connect with the target audience in their own language. It largely, I think, the internet has to be given credit, because the
Credit.
reach, the medium has been the internet, and the reach has been through technology.
Wow. You know,
Possible.
India came into my life in a very strange, indirect way many, many, many years ago when I was still, pretty much a little girl, because my father worked in Dubai for a long time. And since the 80s, he would bring every single year. I'm not sure that these things were available in India. I suppose so, but in Dubai, you had these VCR tapes where you actually had a compilation of all the songs of the main Bollywood movies that were coming out this year. So you know what I'm talking about, right?
Absolutely.
So my father would bring those, and they were, I assume, in Hindi. I assume I will send you the link for my favorite one so that you can actually teach me what it says.
Bollywood
Please
is
do.
Hindi. Yes,
Yes, I'm
Bollywood is
obsessed.
Hindi.
Yes, my brother and I have always been obsessed with this because we started from such a young age, being kind of exposed. We were in Portugal, but everything from Dubai came in these suitcases. So that we were aware of everything that was happening. And obviously it's India and Dubai have a really interesting connection. And every time I went to Dubai, I would always go and have a traveling partner. Usually the person sitting by my side was always from India, because usually they stop in Dubai and they go to India, from what they told me, right? So that was the story.
That's
So
true.
I've met a lot of Indian people in all of those traveling moments and all that. And these days it's true that because I'm very interested in all sorts of let's call it spiritual religious studies, I definitely go towards learning about the deities, singing my mantras. I do my best for my Ganeshas to be sung in whatever original
That's nice.
language as I can. So it's not like for
Interesting.
me, it's totally unknown, right? So the specific types of voices of women and men, for me, they're very familiar. So it's not like I have no clue, right? So it's even if I don't know what they're saying, it's like the type of sound. And especially when it comes to the more spiritual realm, for me, it's part of my daily life, to be honest. So this is
That's nice.
my
Yeah, but
strange
India is
connection.
also a very spiritual country. So
Of
yeah, we are
course, of
just
course. Yes, who doesn't want to go to India for all sorts of reasons, right? So I love the idea of going there someday, so we'll keep it as a thought. In the
You should.
meantime, the
I mean,
truth is
you've been
that
so close by. You've been
yeah,
so
true,
close
right?
to
The
India.
plane, I could just hop on the plane and go a little bit further. So a lot of my friends have been in India. I have a lot of reasons to have happy ideas about India, I have to say, lots of them. So the truth is that when I was working in the States for a while, and then the truth is that I was working, for example, for Google, and it was normal for us to actually work during the day and then for things to be reviewed by the Indian engineers and everybody else, and then they would come back the following day. And then when I joined the big LSPs of Europe and the States, it was also normal to have a lot of partners in India. So let's talk about this phenomenon. Is this something that happened from what I remember, or you guys will know if it was before that or not? Because I remember that I guess the big boom was probably around 2010 or 8 or something around these years, that it became normal to have for all LSPs to have an LSP partner in India. So I have the impression that this is basically probably between 2008, 2012, this is when it kind of started happening. So why did this happen? Did this really happen at that time, or was it because I was just paying more attention? So what is this phenomenon that it's so well known these days that you send your work, your translation work out to India? What was this?
So Vikram, do you want to take this or
Yeah, I
can I?
can. Yeah,
Okay,
maybe
yeah,
I
thank you
can
so much.
explain. Yeah. So what actually happened? So in India had a huge bank, a huge diaspora of translators and adaptation experts. And they were very clearly divided into two parts. One who would only work for the media. That is, we are talking about adapting. So we can say transcreators who would do copywriting for in their regional languages. And adapting whatever is given to them. So that is very, it has strict protocols, it has limitations, you cannot exceed, you have to meter everything when it
The
comes to
characters,
voiceovers.
the size.
Also what you say on the print media is also needs to resonate the same message that the source is trying to say. And then we had the translation community who would literally translate what is there in English or Hindi into the regional language. Now, having said that, this whole big community of translators and adapters, adaptation experts, they never came out in the open because India was still coming to terms with the internet activities and, you know, the kind of bandwidth that we have today. It was only in 2008, 2009, when internet started opening opportunities for a lot of people, including us. So when that happened, the front runners, like people like the LSPs, like ourselves and other agencies, when we started understanding and we had access to the internet in terms of how to use the internet and also how to use the software, we started understanding that, oh, there's some great potential. And that is when we started getting exposed. And with us, we also started exposing our adaptation experts and linguists that, look, this is, you need to work on the internet. Before that, in fact, we had a very tough time explaining them that now you need to leave your fonts, leave fonts that are not compatible, leave your typewriters, leave your keyboards. You know, you have to work on systems that are on the same level, because they were still very happy doing the conventional work, the traditional way of working. So because of the internet, why and how it started in 2000, it in fact started much before that, but in 2008 onwards is when it really became very, very easy. That's when we all started waking up to the idea that, hey, why are we just limiting our services within India when we can work with people abroad? And likewise, people from outside India, people like agencies, companies, brands who were outside India, they were looking at India because they understood that in the coming 10, 15 years, it's going to have largest consumer base. So it makes sense for us to start entering India now. And the best way to do so, to make a connect, is through the regional languages. So that is when, like, it just, everything just came together. So that is 2008 onwards is when everything started falling in place. So everybody's thought that, how is it happening right now? But it was not a coincidence. It was just that everything was just falling in place at the right time, at the right place for us.
Yeah, that's what I had in mind. That was around that area that I started. But then I thought maybe it was just because I was paying more attention. But that's what I imagined.
I'll
that
just
too.
Add over here that
yes, of course.
The internet boom is something that happened from 2000 onwards, where the dot-com industry really, really took charge. It was happening in the West and it trickled down to India, because India was producing a lot of engineers and a lot of software professionals. This happened from 99 to maybe, and it continued. The people who couldn't sustain the dot-com, it bust, okay? A lot of companies shut down. And the people who had joined these companies were the best minds. They got picked up by leading tech houses. And those technology houses created a lot of opportunities for their own people in India and for the Indians. And they sent them, to offsite projects, in-client projects that were happening in the West. That, crossover created a lot of people who went out of India to create opportunities for Indians again. lot of money was being pumped into India. Economy was doing well. Because of that, a lot of brands entered India, which were not yet in India. For example, a soap, which would only be available in West, but the parent company is one, like the parent company is Unilever, for example. Unilever was making X soap. X soap was not, you know, we were not introduced to X soap in India. But suddenly they realized that, oh, now Indians are capacitated to use that soap. And because of that, now let us put that soap over here. That soap became available to India, okay? A Malayali is somebody in Kerala. Kerala is down south. He would love and he could afford the soap, but he can't understand because it's in English, the poster. That's when they realized that we need to talk to that Malayali in his language. So a translator is not going to help, but a transcreation agency will help. And that's when advertising content comes into play. So these, I'm just giving you a very, very drop in the ocean kind of a answer. But this opened opportunities for transcreation agencies to come. And transcreation as a word is holistic. It is just not translating. It opens up doors for audio video production, typesetting, transcription, and so on and so forth. So it's like an entire supply chain that is happening because of, you know, that one industry. So the boom was very, very steady.
At the same time that you started sending out work or getting work from abroad and also expanding in your own country in terms of languages?
Rita, I would say we were at the right place at the right time. How? Because we were already advertising professionals. So we already knew that creative, you know, writing by itself is important. So if creative writing is important, creative translation is just a natural progression to this. You cannot write a line direct in direct translation because then the brand is not going to get what, you know, it needs. The audience is not going to understand so well what the audience will understand in English. And the reason that they want to talk to their audience in a colloquialist way to make the sale. And that is the reason that the advertising industry also boomed, you know, because of this. And internet also happened at the right time. So then digital came in. So chances of penetration were much higher. And this all came in synergy together.
Wow.
And I think it's still continuing.
It's a magical country. I believe it.
Absolutely. So the language industry is magical, I would say, you know, for India. And it has given us immense opportunities. And it is almost, but in India still, I feel it is a neglected industry. It is an abandoned industry. And with AI taking over, it is also an unjust, you know, thing that has happened. Because there are a lot of translators, you know, very, very skilled translators who may not be tech friendly, but their work is, you know, really good, but they're not in the limelight. So this is, because it's India being, you know, not in the, always at the forefront, you know, the translators could be, you know, senior citizens, they could be freelancers working out of their home. And there are challenges which they face and they don't get their due. We would talk about it at some other time, maybe.
No, I understand. I fully understand. Yes, for sure. So Vikram, what happened when you guys decided that this opportunity was here and then you guys were also getting into this wave of doing, let's call it translation, transcreation? So since you were already doing your advertisement, like Lamia said, it was only obvious that you kept going. What was the first step of this expansion and how did this happen?
First step of expansion was setting the process right. Because the first few assignments that we got were just, by the way, can you please help us? Because honestly, our clients were frustrated. They were not getting right translators in India. They're not being able to produce the right
stuff.
So you
actually got the requests before you decided. I see.
Yeah.
Yes.
So for example, whenever they would go to a translator, they would be getting literal translations. Of course, you wouldn't understand what the translation means. So you would take it to the client and you would get it, you know, get it vetted by some professional who knows a little bit of that language. And he's like, this is not what it means. For example, when you say, okay, let's translate WhatsApp. So when you translate it in any other language, it should be like, oh, so what's going on? What's happening? That's what it conveys. But if you would take it to a literal translator, he was like, okay, what is upstairs or what is up? So what happened was that this is what they were getting. So when it came to us, because we knew about English language as well as Hindi or regional language. So our first process was, how do we convey the same to our regional translators? So setting the process right. The second step was getting filtering translators from adaptation experts or advertising translators. And then the third process was that, okay, when we actually give them the assignment, sending them a little bit of brief that, okay, this line in English actually means conveys this. This is a phrase. This is a way of saying. You don't need to translate this literally. Do a creative. Then, of course, telling them that you need to give us back translations, which was like a major resentment factor because they'd be like, I don't know if you know what is back translation, because they'd be like,
Yes, sure.
why would I give you back translation? Because you need to trust me. You don't trust me. So Indian translators have got a lot of emotional tug to whatever they do. They feel that you are asking me, that means you're doubting me. So then we would have to explain them very nicely, calmly. It's not about we are doubting you. We really need this to ensure that you're on the right path, you're in the right lines, and the client doesn't understand a lot of things. So the first thing was that when we actually got one or two assignments, which we did right, and when we understood that, okay, there's so much more potential, we understood that the clients are not really happy dealing with language service providers here in India. And the reason being because there was no process in this whole, there was no method to this madness, this creative madness that was happening. So initially, at least the first 1 or 2 years was all about building the process, building a team, getting the fraternity right. And we had to actually exclude them from, like, they were the filtered chosen ones. So we had to regularly meet them, also give them technical training, tell them that now you need to start using keyboards, you need to start using computers, you need to start using fonts that are more compatible. You need to start understanding that if there is something that you don't understand in English, you don't have to literally translate it. You need to come back to us. So there was a lot of
And being
process
very
setting in place.
insistent, yeah.
So that's the first step, I think, that from where we started. And then, of course, it snowballed into more and more work, doing different things, because initially it was only about adapting for, say, a print ad or a TVC. Then we ventured into subtitling, then typesetting, and then video editing. There's so much more that just started happening. Voiceovers, voiceover production. The most interesting thing that happened was the centralization of campaign production, because that's when a lot of major companies, they wanted to cut down costs, and they also realized that we need to speak the same language across countries instead of just across borders. So what happens is they would produce one commercial and then adapt it in different languages. And that's when things started becoming very interesting, because we would get commercials previously with foreign models speaking Hindi, and then they say that even this is not working. Let's get Indian looking models who are like suitable to at least look, they play the part for, say, India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and Pakistan. And then we would adapt it in different those languages. So there's so
Yeah,
much
makes
of
sense.
this, not there's not just translation of words, but also translation of visuals that are ha that is happening at the same time. It's an amazing process that we are going through now. Today we are having the same message that is being spoken across borders, with just the faces and the words being changed. But otherwise, the message for, say, brands like Coca-Cola or McDonald's or an Apple, these brands, they're all the same. You go from here to Dubai, you travel to Europe or the UK, the message remains the same, just the language and maybe a little bit of photography faces that keeps changing. So
Yeah,
that's
that
what we've gone
photography
through.
part is very, very relevant, I would say, because wouldn't it be strange to have someone who looks like, Claudia Schiffer or something speaking Hindi? So
Exactly.
that would be just strange. Brands are very also very, very, culturally sensitive towards India, because we also do deep cultural audits for brands before we start working on campaigns. So cultural audit is a very insightful and a research-based process that we need to do with understanding each region. So we are aware that brands take the country very seriously when they do a cultural
audit.
They
must.
Yes, absolutely, because they know the potential.
Yes.
They show sensitivity to colors, to skin colors, to genders, to areas, to locations, to the tonality, to the complexion of the models, to the build of the models, to the how sensitive it is that this would, to numbers, is this number culturally relevant or will it hurt some sentiments? So brands are extremely sensitive. So this is a progression that we have seen, from the time that we started in 2008 up until now, that it has only improved, where the client takes the brand source, the brand manager takes the, release in India so seriously that they tweak it to make it viable and as well as get the, target audience, involved in it in the right way. It's not just that we need to get them and we need to sell it and we need to finish it off. They want to, the target audience to be involved with the project or with the brand long term. And this is not just a product. This could be a service as well. This could be something. Yeah, we've done stuff for technology companies who've launched, services in India, and they themselves are very, very, they will give situations that is this situation valid in India at all? Will this dance be valid in India? Will this, will this idiom or will this proverb, if translated, be relevant? And the answer is no. Because British humor is very different from Indian humor. American humor is different from British humor. So they are so sensitive to these cultural, nuances. And that has helped it. That has really helped the brand, move ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But this again, Rita, I may add, that is very relevant to the industry that we are in. This is not relevant to, technology and the AI localization or, what it is. This is just relevant to the advertising and marketing content. Because this is not voluminous. Translations like 2-3 lakh words a day. This is not what it is. We could take, they may give us about 2 to 3 days for one line. It's
so
relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So with all this, even culturally, how Vikram put it, that he mentioned about the whole process. So like how the writers are, why are they culturally involved is because the language is very close to their heart. So it all comes down, to the involvement in the language.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Well, that's how we live, right? So we know how it goes.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Our lives. So Vikram, what does your client landscape look like? So is it more international, more national, more, of course, it's more marketing related, obviously, but is it more national brands, foreign brands, specific niches? What does it look like?
So we have brands and clients coming in all shapes, sizes, and from everywhere in the world and in India. We are happy to accommodate everyone. It's nothing like that. We don't have any biases. But yeah, you know what? We have small brands coming. Like, for example, just recently, the government of India, the government of Maharashtra, the Maharashtrian state government, they said that all brands need to have their store signage in regional language as well. So that one statement, that one law changed everything for every brand over here in Maharashtra. Every shop has got a sign that has also got regional language. So we are talking about it from a state level point of view. So from grassroots level to brands coming from international regions. And I don't think there's any foreign brand per se, there's any definition of a foreign brand anymore, because all brands have become universal.
Right.
There's, maybe it's just a change of name, but you would look at a brand like, that over here it's Naxa, over there it's AXA. So it's all the same. Like over here it's Axe and over there it's Lynx. So you kind of understood that, hey, this is the same, it's the same thing, but maybe it's just the brand name is different because these guys started initially. But honestly speaking, there's so many brands now, like we, as compared to yesteryears, maybe in 2000, when we would go visit abroad, we would be surprised by brands over there. I haven't heard of this. But today, it doesn't surprise us at all. Wherever we go, if you're traveling abroad, when we go to stores over there, the malls over there, the brands that are the outlets over there, they're the same as what they are here in India because
That's
they've
one of
got
the
their
bad
presence over
things
here.
in the world, in my opinion. It's too
Yeah,
much
everything's
because
just looking the
everywhere you
same.
go, and it's like it's easy to find everything everywhere. That's why it surprises me that people go abroad and still go into those Zaras and those places of the world, because it's like you have them in your country. Why would you travel abroad and visit those stores? But I guess the world is more and more like that for sure.
So
But do you
honestly
like
speaking,
do you
that's like
think
coming.
you specialize in something, as in, I know sometimes we don't look for things to happen in a certain way, but we tend to have clients that are, in a certain percentage, a bigger percentage, they tend to be in one specific area. Is it more, like Lamia, I was talking about soap. So is it more consumer products? So what is your case usually?
To be fair, we've got brands that are like consumer centric, travel centric, IT. Like we've also done work for Google, Apple, and many, many, many more such IT related companies, tech companies. So, but yes, FMCG brands or consumer brands is something that we really excel in because we have a very strong grip over the language, over the sentimental value of the language that is involved in that. We are more invested in that. We've also got more experience in that, to say that. And yeah, Lamia, what do you think? Anything else other than this? Although there's so much of work that we've done.
So consumer products industry, being fairly, I would say, but beauty industry, that really took our time in, I think, from 2000, I think 11 to I think 19, the beauty industry was huge, huge in our portfolio. And now I think it would be equally tech industry, that tech partners as well, but we are still doing transcreation only for them. It is not that we are doing anything related with technology. And earlier we were working with simple, I mean, interfaces. Now we have moved on to working on tools for them. So that is something that has been, I think, almost essential since the past, I would say, 3 years, where we've been introduced to a lot of platforms, and we've also gradually progressed, because I mean we need to really be compatible as an agency, because that's what is globally the need of the hour, to understand AI in a way that it helps you rather than scares you. So we are following that path. And in turn, we are also inducting all our, linguists to be familiar with those platforms, because not necessarily that they are, trained in that. And of course, there are so many, small, small differences of working on a Word document rather than working on a Trados or a Smartlink. I mean, there's a huge,
Yes, for
I mean,
sure. I hear you because I do transcreation myself, and
yeah, so.
definitely the last few projects were even for the same exact client, one project came in one format and the following project already
Yeah,
came
so
in one of those platforms. So yeah.
that happens, but I think that as it really can get, you can really get bogged down with that one full stop not fitting in the character limit, and your page is not getting saved, and then the linguist is like, why is this not happening? And those little things that are, I think, creating those gaps. But I think we are kind of getting we are acclimatizing to that, and getting our team also, getting our vendor manager, management team, to in turn to induct the vendors that this is the way it is, and this is the way it is, going to be now.
So how
So that
many people are you in your team?
so if within our office we are about 10 to 12,
Oh,
but
wow.
yeah, if you see that for our database, our freelancer network, we're almost 300 plus, which
Wow.
but it could increase, because we are talking about multiple roles over here. We are not just talking about transcreators. We have sound engineers, we have VO artists, we have language coaches, then we have our translators, we have our typesetters, we have our proofreaders, we have our proof editors. So there are different roles for everybody, and that you multiply into 18, 16 Indian languages, which
Mm.
are local, hyperlocal, and hyper-hyperlocal. So when I say
So speaking of number of
hyper-hyperlocal,
languages, so roughly, if there's an official number, how many languages do you have in India? It's like roughly. In Portugal, there's only three languages, okay? So,
Okay,
there are more than, yeah.
we want to know all three of them, please.
So we have standard European Portuguese. Then we have one very specifically located language called Mirandês up north. So it's a small community, but they decided that it was officially a language. And then we officially recognize sign language as a separate language, right? So these are the three languages in Portugal, which means that, let's say, 99.9 of us only speak one. So this is us.
Okay, so let me start with. So we have Hindi, Marathi, Bengali, Kannada, Telugu, Tamil,
Tamil,
Punjabi, Haryanvi,
Bengali,
Bhojpuri, Kashmiri, Sindhi,
Assamese,
Assamese,
Assamese, Odia, Manipuri. We have more than 27.
Manipuri, Mizo.
Official and unofficial could go into hundreds.
Hundreds. We are talking about thousands, in fact.
Yeah,
Okay. Well, I
but
believe you. And officially, especially, I'm sure. Not
officially
us.
it is because now we have done hyperlocal languages as well, which was not the case earlier. So we're talking about very quaint villages in the east of India and quaint states, which are, called Assam and Arunachal Pradesh and, Mizoram, Manipur. So those also have their languages, and there are brands who ask specifically for those languages as well, for the
So when you're talking
voiceover.
about the super or hyper localization type of thing, so how many people would that entail, for example, if it's a super small for India?
Of course, the team size would be smaller,
No, I mean the
Yeah,
speakers, the receivers of the message. So the speakers.
we don't know the exact headcount, but they are very small states as compared. So like some, there would be hardly, I think, 5 to 10 lakh people in one village. We're talking because India is such a populous country, so 5 to 10 lakh is a very small number to be,
Of course.
it's not, yeah.
Like
So
I'm almost, I think population, like your country's population.
10 million.
Okay.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
sorry.
Around about that. Get active.
We travel a lot.
Yeah, right.
That's
No,
right.
but seriously speaking, but yeah. So yeah, the receivers would be a lot lesser in numbers, but large enough to make big business
So
sense.
justify having it in their own specific language.
Because for a brand to enter their homes to make a connect with them, for them to say, yeah, okay, I would like to try this, or let's go for it, like let's ditch my usual traditional brands, because there's so many local traditional
Can only
brands that.
imagine.
Yeah, and one thing about India is that a lot of these brands, they come in only, there's this one person who'll be going out in the market and getting these brands in, especially when you're talking about tier three, tier two cities. It's a very family-led kind of decision. It's not that individual that I will use my shampoo and you can use yours. No, there'll be only one brand of shampoo that'll come. So it's a very strong, message that we have to give out. Which cuts across these generations living in
So it's not
one
one
household.
individual, it's a whole household that you need to convince all at once.
Yes.
I had
So
never
that
thought about
one,
this concept.
yeah, that one family member who's going out for shopping, for their monthly shopping, grocery shopping, that she or he needs to be like, yeah, this time we'll try this product. So to make them switch to that product, language is, of course, one of the big driving factors over there.
Wow. Fascinating. I had never thought about it from this perspective, but it totally makes
Yeah.
sense. I'm sure everybody's going to agree with you, especially if you have, countries which are so embedded in such, cultures that have influenced
Cultures,
the rest of the
yes.
world in such a way,
Yeah.
right? Because it's like for us, who doesn't dream about going to India? Everybody that I know.
Hope
Because
so.
it's a, I
Everyone
think
should.
so. Very, very relevant country for anyone who's interested in everything, right? Either technology, culture, religion, spirituality, you have everything there and more that we don't know of. I watch a lot of
Even the food.
documentaries about India.
Yeah. Even the food is very good, and food also changes
Ooh.
after a few kilometers. So we especially went to North India to eat the food that we don't get over here. And then people from North India come to West to experience the different spices. So it's all, we've gone to East India to, you know, enjoy the food over there. So localization is omnipresent.
Yes, food. I love Indian food. And I was very fortunate when I was working in one of the companies in San Francisco. My cubicle partner was an engineer and she was Indian. And we would have lunch together a lot because she lived right there. So I would go there and it would be fascinating for me. I could never forget this plate because it was like a fried egg, something like this, a bit of rice, and then multiple little mountains of spices that she would grab with one finger, another finger, another finger, and she would make it into a bowl and then she would eat it like this. And for me, it was just fascinating. And I ended up actually going to a Diwali ceremony when she had this big occasion and the whole family, other friends were over, all were Indian except for me. So I also had, I can send you that photo. I'm wearing whatever she had left. That could fit me. And these days I actually have a proper party Indian outfit that my father brought from Dubai. But I definitely was fascinated by all of that. So I was used to having lunch with the Indian friend, Sailaja, that's her name. She's still in San Francisco. And she definitely was fascinating in the way that she could just turn this fried egg into the most special, amazing meal that I ever had. So this is my fantasy with India, right? So I could go right now.
So do you have dishes like just to quiz you, like in Portugal, things like chicken vindaloo, and you
we
know
now
what,
have
what
a, we've had Indian restaurants for a long time now, and it's like they're popping up more and more because we now have a lot of population from, for example, Pakistan, which is something new for us, or you know, countries like that. So it's
Pakistan
kind
and Bangladesh,
of new.
Yeah.
For us, Bangladesh, obviously, kind of new for us here to have such a population from those countries. Indians, we've had always Indians here, very strong communities, usually in the furniture business. I don't know why, but either supermarkets or furniture, that's what we would have. I have the fantasy of growing up with this store in front of me, a grocery store, where the lady was the only one there in our street with a phone. The lady's name was Farida, and she was there cooking her food. We would smell this curry, all this stuff. This was totally unknown. So like I say, I have a lot of references from Indian people, either in the States, in Spain, in Portugal. So they're everywhere for me. So it's important. But we've had now Indian restaurants for a long time. It's, you can find them everywhere, good and bad.
I'm sure.
But we are now familiar, and it's normal that people now eat curry everywhere in Portugal, even in other restaurants, things like that. You know, that's 20 years probably.
Yeah, in fact, curry is, I think, one of the most spoken words according
I
to
suppose
one
so.
research that was in 23, I think, that, you know.
I could eat it all day, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah. Isn't it spicy for you?
Well, I guess we have the mild version. In the restaurants here and in Spain and in the States too, you can get those.
The peppers would be the
The
treat,
peppers will tell you if they're very spicy or not. So I always go with the as little as possible because I love a lot of strong, sweet food. You know, the whole cinnamon kind of flavor is just very nice for me. So I like the warm stuff. Spicy,
so safely
it's very warm.
speaking. So safely speaking, you've adapted it to the Portuguese way.
Probably did.
Yes,
but I guess
yes.
everywhere it goes, you adapt it a little bit so that you're sure that the
yes.
locals don't get too
yes.
scared.
Too alarmed. Yeah, exactly. That happens.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Yes, for sure. Well, guys, thank you so much. This has been amazing. I've always had this fantasy of having Lamia and then, of course, the guests, amazing guests. Thank you so much. But I missed one of the most important parts, one of the most important things that I should have done, which is to ask you to pronounce your full name in your real accent so that I don't just destroy your beautiful names. So, Lamia, which is this? What is your full name?
My name is Lamia, Lamia Mangnani. And that's it. That's the way it's supposed
this
to be.
This is it.
Pronounced.
Two names.
Yeah. My
okay.
husband's name would be in the middle, or before marriage, it would be my father's name. So otherwise, my name is Lamia and my surname is Mangnani. Yeah.
Okay. So
So.
beautiful names. And what about Vikram, who is not married to a man, so he doesn't have a husband, I suppose, doesn't have the husband's name in the middle.
You do know that we are related, right? Me and Lamia?
I don't.
You don't? Okay. Well, then, sorry to spill the beans here. Yeah, we both are related. She's my wife.
I had no idea. I'm so sorry. You said you met in college and I just went with that. So I
Yeah,
didn't even think that maybe you were also married.
so we thought that, like we were business partners. I was
Oh,
like,
this
okay,
is
let's
his name.
minimize
I see
this.
now.
Yeah.
Yes,
Let's
yes,
minimize this profit sharing ratio. Why don't we get married? Let's keep everything in the house.
yes.
Why
I
should
see, I
we?
see.
Yeah,
Smart, that's
so
smart.
my name is Vikram Mangnani. Yeah, and it's quite a mouthful because most of my teachers never got my surname right. Every time there's like Mangna, so it's like it's a bit of a
Mangnani, something like
Mang. Oh,
that.
you
But
got
yes, I
it.
will
Yeah,
practice.
you
I
got it
will
right.
practice.
You
Yes,
got
you
it
got
right. Thank you.
it right. I will
You
put it
should
in a
come to India.
mantra. This is the way I'll do
You should come to India. I'll come to pick you up wherever you are.
Ooh. Yes,
Don't
you
even
should.
say it
It
too
will be
many
very
times.
nice to take you
You see,
around.
I like I always say, I'm a fake Portuguese person, but I'm definitely a fake European person. I mean, I am from here, but I definitely feel a connection with, faraway countries. My dream places are all in either South America or in Asia or somewhere else, because it's just I feel more comfortable, or I feel more connected somehow, not comfortable, but connected to people from all sorts of places, maybe more colorful, maybe warmer places. I guess that's the way it is. So I always say I'm a bit of an imposter for an European. I'm not a good example of an European, I always say, right? So I could go anywhere, really. I could live anywhere and I would be happy, I'm sure.
That's
So
life.
I'll think about visit. Well, actually, my partner from Magic Beans was just in India recently for a language event, a language industry event. So who knows next time if I'll join? You never know.
That'll be nice.
Please
That'll be
do.
really nice.
We'll be happy to have you over here.
And we
Okay.
thoroughly enjoyed, Rita. It was a lot of fun. And you asked us questions which were really interesting. And it was not the same old things that, I've been attending so far. And I thoroughly enjoyed talking about, our journey right from childhood, which was very different and was it's very nice to talk about it, to understand that, okay, this is from where we are coming. So thank you for bringing it up.
Yes, personal perspective, I think, is the thing that interests me the most. Even if I love languages, I love language work, all of that, but definitely I think that personal perspective is what really connects us the most. So that's the intention of the language worker, actually. So
That's
thank you so
true.
much
That's
for
true.
saying that.
Thank you.
Thank you
Thank
so
you.
much, you guys, and we will be in touch. Who knows? Maybe in India.
We'll be in touch.
We
Yes,
will be
for
in touch.
sure.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Rita.
guys.
Have a lovely
Thank
day
you,
and
Rita. You
managing the time.
too.